This is a production of Tripod Broadcasting.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's
all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
Are you ready right now? You ready to go right now? Hey, everybody out there in audio land, this is Matt Hume with your...
Don't,
with your,
no,
my,
don't with
my
your audio
Addison
land.
Todd,
no.
Here on Give That Some Thought. Another week's episode of Give That Some Thought. Give That Some Thought number 11.
Don't with your audio
on,
land.
The Tripod Broadcasting
like
Network.
Like we're in the 40s.
Addison, how are you doing?
I'm doing terrible.
You're doing
Thanks
terrible?
Thanks for asking.
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Here we are.
No, here. No,
Tripod
no,
Broadcasting's
I do it. Here
flagship
we are.
Show.
I do. Here we are.
Give that
welcome
some
to
thought.
Tripod Broadcasting's flagship show. Give that some thought with your host, Matt Hume, and
That's,
my co-host, Addison. Todd, a man who looks down on everybody else for not being.
That's not true. Only minorities and people that make less than me.
Yeah.
That's it.
A man with no love for the minimum wage worker, Addison Todd.
Well, that's true. But who has love for minimum wage workers? Let's be honest. Certainly not the people that they serve.
Their mothers.
Well, not really, because they live in their basements.
Yeah, because they're making minimum wage. They
can't
afford their own place.
Yeah, back to this.
It's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle of illogic with you.
Illogic,
anyways,
yeah. No.
Tripod Broadcasting's flagship show. Give that some thought. I'm your host, Addison. Joining me is my co-host, a man who is currently writing his autobiography, Come At Me Carbs, Matt Hume.
Yeah.
Matt, tell us more about this project that you're working on.
Well, as you can say, it's entitled Come At Me Carbs.
Now, how does that encapsulate your life's work up until how old are you?
I'm 30.
You're 30.
You ask me that a lot, and you constantly make me say how old I am.
Yeah, well, I kind of like to beat into the ground that you're old and have done nothing with your life, but I'm...
Wow. Right in the feels, first off.
But...
didn't even wait, just going right for the jugular as soon as we open the show.
Well, I find as a host, it's best to... Put your co-host or your guest down right off the bat. That way they know you have the upper hand. I'm pulling a real Sean Hannity here.
It's a dominant thing. I get
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm your Ann Coulter, fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Except Ann Coulter's way better looking. Maybe doesn't have better politics than you, but she's way better looking than you.
Yeah, well, I have a better beard than she does.
That remains up for debate, actually.
Really, you think?
She seems like one of
Skeletor
those...
Skeletor never had a beard, dude. As beard, man. As long as Superman was... Or not Superman, but as long as He-Man was fighting Skeletor, never had a beard.
She seems like one of those chicks that probably when you get up close... Pop my pee there. That probably when you get up close, she has a little of that upper lip fuzz.
Yeah.
She seems like one of those types of powerful ladies.
She's one of those ladies that I think, I feel, would never go out without like makeup on...
Oh, yeah,
I think
yeah,
she
yeah.
Looked, probably looks
it's
hideous
persona,
unless
yeah.
She's done up for TV.
That's probably that. Yeah, I'm willing to concede that. Yeah,
but yeah.
Anyways, your autobiography.
Yeah,
Come At Me Carbs.
Come At Me Carbs.
When can we expect it to hit shelves?
Maybe next time, next winter, sometime next winter.
Next winter, so not this coming winter.
Yeah, no. Winter of 2014.
Winter
maybe
of 2014.
Spring of 15.
Come At Me Carbs.
Yeah.
The highly anticipated.
The thing is that I eat so much bread that I'm sleepy all the time.
Yeah.
So I never really get around to writing a whole lot.
Well, the beer probably doesn't help.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right now, the first line is, bread, do you even sift? And that's all I've
and
got.
And that's just the first page.
That's all I've got.
So you got a lot of work to do.
I do.
So you got the book deal, but you've got a lot of work to do.
Well, I'm planning on like putting in a bunch of illustrations. So
illustrations, you say?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yep.
So, but it won't be a graphic novel.
No.
It'll be a book.
No, it'll be a book with like a lot of pictures of like
okay.
Breads and, you know, beer,
wheat-based foods,
some pasta,
starch-based foods, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boxes and boxes of like macaroni noodles.
Sounds riveting. I look forward to purchasing
frozen
and
pizzas.
Potentially going on a well, I assume that I'll be doing the forward.
Yeah. Speaking of frozen pizzas, I ate an entire Jack's frozen pizza last night.
Really?
Yeah.
By yourself.
By myself. Well, other people were in the room, but yeah, I was the only one eating it.
Other people were in the room.
Yeah.
That is just the... Now, hold on. Before I say what I was going to say, Were the other people eating? Like, did they have meals?
Yeah, yeah. It was Daniel Lindsay. Okay. They were eating something.
Okay, well, then that's...
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say that's the epitome of loneliness. But if they're eating and you're eating and you just happen to eat a whole frozen pizza by yourself,
well,
we've all done it.
I was making I was making the conscious effort to only eat 3/4 of the pizza, you know, because I'm trying to watch my figure and all. And
watch it grow? Or?
Yeah, exactly. And Daniel was like, don't be a little bitch, man. Eat the rest of it. Just eat the rest of it. So I ate the rest of it.
So down it went, yeah.
Well, it was Chinook's fault. It was Chinook's fault for having these pizzas on sale.
Here we go. You were the type of person that would have been on that lawsuit a few years ago that sued McDonald's for making them fat.
No, Jack's pizzas, they were on sale for $1.88.
Would you like to sue Jack's pizzas?
No, I would like to shake hands with
I'll represent
whoever,
you, because I just
like
want to represent you on
whoever, that. Whoever... made them $1.88 for an entire Jack's pizza.
Yeah, that's
I bought 5 of them.
That's like giving out heroin to kids.
$1.88, the mark of the feast.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
So let's give some things some thought. Besides my gluttony.
And your autobiography.
And stellar good looks and the books that I'm writing right now.
Yes.
Let's give some things some thought. Do you have anything? What do you want to give some thought?
Well, I've got a couple things, but do you want to get into what you have?
First off,
we can continue.
We have to talk about the most amazing thing that happened to me on Thursday, which was...
Is this going
to
be another pizza story?
No, it's not another pizza
story. Are you
sure? No, it's about... I finally, after 7 years of waiting for...
That's right. I forgot.
We finally got to go see The World's End with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, directed by Edgar Wright. And directed by...
Yeah.
I loved it.
You had a great evening.
I knew that I was going to. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Whether or not I had a great evening, it was your
fault. You can't point the finger at me without me telling the story that made me do what I did.
I did,
and I don't think you want to do that. So let's just
You don't want to do that.
But
you don't
want to
do
it.
That. I don't have any shame.
Let's let bygones be bygones.
Throw down the gauntlet, bro.
In the name of professionalism.
You tell it. All right, fine. All right. If you want to hear the rest of the story, add me on Twitter. But
yeah, I was going to say, hit us up on Twitter. I'll gladly share the story.
All right. Anyway, so we went to go see The World's End, which was amazing.
At 10 p.m.
I love Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright. Everything that Edgar Wright does, I've loved from Space to Scott Pilgrim. And I saw Shaun of the Dead back in 2002, right after it came out. I bought the DVD. Having never seen the movie before, I bought the DVD and was like, oh, this is a...
Looks interesting.
Looks interesting, and I kind of wanted to see it, so I bought it.
You didn't buy it on anyone's recommendation?
No. Even? Just my own, having seen it around. I bought it and haven't looked back. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I've gone through like 3 copies of Shaun of the Dead, just wearing out the DVD. Hot Fuzz the same way. I really like the movie. So this as the third chapter in the Blood and Ice Cream, the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy. I loved it. It was great. It was amazing. There were... only a couple hiccups, one being Addison dogging me for a stupid mistake I made earlier in the evening.
A stupid mistake that you made, and we can concede that.
Yeah, and another when I was trying to purchase the tickets. But we're going to get into the purchasing tickets in a minute. Let's first talk about Blood and Ice Cream let's talk about The World's End because I loved it, but then I knew I was going to be a fan going into it. What did you think as someone who you like Shaun of the Dead?
I do.
You
I like really Hot like Shaun Fuzz, of the Dead.
Have you seen Scott Pilgrim?
I've once or twice, yeah. It wasn't my favorite
movie.
You've
never
seen
Space, though?
No, I hadn't seen
Space. So you're not like a hardcore Edgar Wright
fan? No.
To me, he was like Kevin Smith was like 10, 15, 20 years ago, right?
So like an old school Kevin Smith kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like the same sort of spirit about his work. The same sort of slacker, stoner, tongue-in-cheek thing that he does.
Yeah.
Really doing a lot of inventive things with filmmaking. Yeah, no, it's an amazing movie, top to bottom.
Yeah.
That being said, if I had to rank the movies in objective quality, or at least as objectively qualified as you can get, I would put Hot Fuzz as being the better movie, top to bottom.
Really? See, I would say
it's not my favorite.
For me, 1 to 3 would be
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, World's End, Hot Fuzz.
I think with a lot of trilogies, Hot Fuzz was Edgar Wright's Empire, the best of the trilogy.
Yeah,
but. Of an amazing trilogy.
Yeah.
So just to say that altogether, that was the best.
Yeah, not
doesn't mean anything bad about the other two movies.
Well, not one of them phoned it in or was a lousy movie.
No. Yeah. And World's End did not disappoint. Just for future reference, spoilers, skip like a couple minutes ahead if you haven't seen the movie or if you don't want it to be spoiled. It's a great movie. And just like Red, White, and Blue, you have three colors of a Cornetto. You had 3 colors of a movie. You have red for Sean, white for Hot Fuzz, and blue for this movie. Blue plays a huge role in it.
Big spoiler.
Yeah.
It's about the end of the world.
Yeah, it is about the end of the world. And so many things there. The dystopian, post-apocalyptic world where...
Well, we don't really see that till the end.
Just a couple minutes, but it's just enough to give you a taste of, like, that's where this went.
Yeah.
And it went into, like, a Mad Max type world, and you're just like, I was just like, oh, yes. Because my favorite movie genre is the dystopian, post-apocalyptic world. Like, yeah. Book of Eli was really good.
I loved Book of Eli.
Mad Max.
I
even like The Postman. That's how big a
fan
I've
never seen Mad Max or The Postman.
You need to see Mad Max.
Now what's... refresher on Mad Max.
The Road Warrior.
What's that?
The Road Warrior is the first movie.
No, Mad Max. What is that about?
It's just about this this guy played by Mel Gibson who's roaming the wastelands of Australia after the apocalypse. And he has to fight like crazy gangs.
Kind of like inbred kind of thing, or like just like gangs that have banded together,
like just gangs,
like tribalism kind of thing.
Yeah, pillaging and raping type of like land pirates, basically.
Gotcha.
You know, movies like that. Movies like what was the one with Viggo Mortensen? Robert Duvall was in it. Something Road. The Road. It was The Road. Just The Road.
Oh.
Based off of McCormick McCarthy, book. That's really, really... The book is really, really good, too. I like it. But The Road is probably one of the better post-apocalyptic movies. But The World's End is kind of the same way. It's about an alien invasion, and shenanigans ensue. It's just... an epic pub crawl.
It is an epic pub crawl. I would venture to guess that you could make up a drinking game to it that would be...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Could be fatal.
Uh-huh. There are a lot of callbacks to the other movies. Yeah, a lot of the same actors were in it.
Yeah.
Bill Nighy, who's been in the first two, and Sean and Hot Fuzz, was in this one, too.
I was going to ask you, did you notice, I don't know if anyone noticed, the kid that he was showing the condo to?
Yeah.
That's the kid from the shop in Shaun of the Dead.
Uh-huh. That's Noel.
Yeah.
Hello, mate.
Yeah.
Hello, mate.
Thought you said it wasn't a social gathering. That kid. Yeah.
How come you're allowed to speak to your dad? Yeah.
First of all, he's not my dad.
Anyway.
He's my stepdad.
Yeah, he's in it.
Second, I can keep my work and my personal life separate.
Yeah, Martin Freeman's been in all three. Bill Nye's been in all three. I was kind of surprised Jessica Stevenson didn't make an appearance, but then she wasn't in Hot Fuzz either.
That's the chick.
That's the chick from Spaced who plays opposite Simon Pegg in Spaced.
Was she in Shaun of the Dead?
Yes, she was.
Which one?
She played...
his love interest?
No, his old roommate that he runs into on the street.
Oh, right. Yeah. Who's presumably like an old girlfriend or something.
Yeah, and actually one of the things that only people who have seen Spaced will get this, but the guy that they go up to in the bar.
Uh-huh. Reverend Green?
Yeah, the Reverend Green, who they buy, you know.
I think you know Reverend Green, don't you?
I know a few Reverend Greens, but the guy that Simon Pegg had always bought drugs from in the town.
Marijuana.
Yeah. That actor played their drug dealer in Spaced, too.
Really? Yeah. So call back to that.
And he had a much bigger role in Spaced. He was a recurring character. He was probably in about half the episodes.
Nice.
And actually, he wore this... He was a bike messenger who sold drugs.
Yeah.
And he wore this distinct yellow, like, jacket. And he was always, like, on ecstasy. Had always been at the club late at night.
Yeah.
A raver type, basically.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he's in this as kind of a cleaned-up business guy, but then he also sells... Marijuana. But in Shaun of the Dead, he's in one of the background scenes.
Really?
As a zombie, but he's dressed exactly like he is in Spaced.
No kidding.
Yeah. If it's one of the...
So everything's connected with these guys.
It's one of the daytime exterior shots of the Winchester as they're going into the pub.
Yeah.
You see, and it's a large shot, and it's just a shot of the zombie horde, and you see all these greens and browns and reds and whites in the crowd, and you see one splash of color, and it's yellow, and it's him.
Nice.
And if you've seen Spaced, and if you watch Shaun of the Dead, you pick that up. You're like, oh,
that's the drug dealer.
Yeah, it's his character. I can't remember his name of the character though. But yeah, really good actor, really good character on Spaced. And I really that was one of the high points of the movie, seeing him pop back up
as
somebody,
Mr. Green,
yeah, somebody
Reverend
with
Green,
with some roles, just because, you know, him being the drug dealer in both. But yeah, it was a great movie, top to bottom. The best bathroom fight scene I've ever seen in a movie.
That was pretty incredible. I'll give you that. That was
just the way it starts. Like, he pushes him and then knocks his head off. And,
yeah,
and no, that my two favorite fight scenes in the movie are the bathroom scene, number one, number two, when they're just about to talk to Bill Nighy as the
space god.
The space god. and Simon Pegg or Nick Frost has the bar stools.
Right. And oh, and uses them almost as yeah. oversized boxing gloves, really. He's just knocking those guys.
He basically turns a pair of bar stools into Hulk hands.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And is just mashing
yeah.
aliens left and right.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And
that whole scene is pretty good because you have I want to call him Sean, but Simon Pegg's character in this movie.
Andy. Andy is Nick Frost.
Character. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Pete.
The King.
Yeah, King. That's right. Gary King.
Mm-hmm.
Gary King's, and he's constantly trying to finish this beer.
Yeah,
and then just the whole thing revolves around really even good too. Like he's really only fighting when he has to because something's in between him and his beer. Mm-hmm.
It was
I really enjoyed.
Amazingly choreographed.
That fight scene. Agreed.
It's almost like a dance of between him and this beer trying to go back. Like zombies are attacking him.
He sets it down, picks it up, another one.
He's just pulls himself away from these aliens. He's not attacking them at all while everybody else is being attacked or fighting them. He's just trying to go for the beer. And never quite get it. But
I thought that was rather amusing.
Yeah, but a lot of the other themes that they kind of dealt with in the movie, the growing up aspect of life too. Well, the growing up aspect of it, the kind of getting past your demons in order to grow up.
Yeah.
And the things that are always kind of holding you back.
Which really
hit
home with me.
Yeah, he plays a character who, he peaks when he's 17, 19, 20 years old.
Whatever it was, yeah. Out of school.
Yeah, he peaks really early, and that's kind of the best that life has for him. So he's trying to go back and recapture this moment.
Mm-hmm.
We find out later that he's tried to commit suicide and things like that.
Yeah. I think I would venture to guess that that's what a big part of Come At Me Carbs is going to be about is
about my
about
depression
how you peaked at 19.
Yeah, my bread depression.
That's so negative, and I'm sorry. I feel
you're a jerk.
I'm dogging on you today.
Yeah, well, yeah, just like you did before and after the movie.
Let it go. We saw the movie.
You almost ruined the experience for me,
but I didn't.
Well, yeah, because the movie saved it. If it had been like a movie that I was neutral on and we didn't want to,
you would have hated the whole evening
about going to see. I would have ruined my evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, regardless.
It was pretty funny, though, because at the end of the night, we were hanging out at Lindsay and Dano's and everything, and you were outside, and so I went inside, and then you tried to come back inside, so I went back outside, and then you finally left, and then I finally went outside. I'm like, all right, he's gone. I was legitimately just like,
Get out of my face.
I did not want to be around you. I just did not want to be around you.
That's interesting.
I didn't. I was tired. Noted. There was too much Addison. I was tired of Addison.
It happens.
Yeah, and you broke the AC in the house.
My poor wife can't seem to...
No,
She has no choice.
I get why she's as crazy and as psychotic
as
she is.
The stress eating and the pills and the...
I get why you're secretly force feeding her pills and those horse tranquilizers. He drugs his wife so that she'll put up with his BS.
If I get a knock on the door from someone as a result of you saying this, I'm coming for you, and I'll ruin every movie you've ever seen.
Well, you can't ruin the movies I've already seen.
Yeah, already seen.
You can't take Schindler's List from me.
I've never seen that.
Anyway, segueing from The World's End to what I want to talk about is one of the things I want to talk about. Earlier in that evening.
And it should be noted, something that you brought to the table.
Yes.
For a change.
For a change. What are you talking about? I carried the first four episodes of this podcast.
Yeah, well, now we're on the last four. Well, not the last four, but...
Anyway.
This is our best episode, by the way.
I disagree. I mean,
which is our best one?
It could. I don't know. Episode 9 was pretty good. Episode 9 is pretty good.
Which one was 9?
Fluoride Dinner Brothers.
Oh, Fluoride... Yeah.
Or Dinner, something like that.
Fluoride Dinner Picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
We
argued a lot in 9, though.
We did, which I liked.
But we've since made up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you're still
as much made up as we can be.
You're still a jerk face, but whatever. Episode 5 was really good, too. Stupid Hat Brothers.
Yeah, Stupid Hat Brothers was pretty good.
It was a pretty funny one.
We're getting all nostalgic here in episode 11.
I know.
This is interesting.
Yeah. We're in the double digits now, baby.
It's true. We're famous.
We're almost into the teens.
We're famous. And on that note, actually, if you would... if you like the show, if you're a regular listener, go ahead and share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/givethatsomethought. That's our Facebook page. All the episodes get posted up there. Same thing with Twitter, twitter.com/givethoughtshow. you can rate and review us on iTunes. And go ahead, if you're a fan, and this segues kind of into my first story. But if you're a fan, we'll get into that in a second. But if you're a fan of Breaking Bad, AMC's show with Bryan Cranston, check out our other podcast that we got going, where we're just reviewing each one of the episodes as they come out. These last eight episodes of season five, the final season of Breaking Bad, we just listen to it, or we just watch them, and then we kind of give it some quick thought. They're about a half hour each. They're kind of gaining some popularity, so go ahead and check those out. They're on tripodbroadcasting.com/Breaking Bad. Plug time's over. What do you got for us, Matt?
Well, Thursday evening, I was sitting, waiting, just salivating for the world's end. Just waiting for it to happen.
It's accurate. I could kind of garner that from your text.
Yeah, I was off on Thursday, not doing anything but just waiting around until this movie started. So I'm online, and I'm on my phone just kind of bumming around. I thought, well, why don't I buy the tickets now? I'll buy them online. That way I make sure I have them. Because who knows? It might be sold out. You know? Turns out it wasn't. There were like 20 people in the theater.
It was pretty empty. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was Thursday night. It was the night before at 10 p.m., so like a pre-screening. I'm not exactly sure the number that it made.
Yeah, I don't know how it did over the weekend.
I think it made about $20 million over the weekend.
Oh, is it that much?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's done quite well. Financially, it's the better of the three. It's done better than the first two.
Really?
So, yeah, not much better than Hot Fuzz, but better. So, we'll see about that. But I went to go buy these tickets online. Put in my credit card information on Fandango.
You don't have a credit card.
Yeah, I do. We'll get into that. I put in my credit card information from my work pay card.
Oh, okay. So okay.
My debit card I get from
where the paycheck from goes my pay on. Card. Is yeah. it like a balance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Put all the information in.
Wait,
hit send.
So you were upset that night for a whole different set of circumstances that you didn't even tell me about.
No, I didn't know about all this until a couple nights later. Can I tell the story?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Put all the information in for my credit card. Hit send. Shut up.
No, I didn't say anything.
Hit send.
Yeah.
It came up. You've entered in wrong information. Please go back and correct any information you may have entered incorrectly.
Just when you were trying to buy them.
Double checked all the info. Everything was right. Hit send again. Same thing. Triple checked all the info. Hit send again. Nothing happened. So at this point, because I have such an old phone, this process did take me about 15, 20 minutes to go through.
I was pissed
off at that point. So I was like, fine, forget it. Like, I'll just get to the theater early.
Yeah.
Okay. So, went to go see the movie, paid in cash, no big deal. Didn't go to use my card for a couple days because I had some cash on me.
Right.
And I went the other night to go use the ATM. At the gas station. Mm-hmm. I was going to put some gas in Lindsay's car and buy some snacks, whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah, buy some snacks. And my card wouldn't work at the ATM.
Odd.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, I'll try to take out
even though you had gotten paid.
Even though I thought I had like $150, $140 on there still. So I was like, all right, well, I'll try a smaller amount. So just tried to take out $40 instead of 100.
Right.
Right. Wouldn't go through. Called to check my balance. -$4. -$4.
Down from a previously checked balance of one for whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
What the card company did was they took those three charges from Fandango and they held them in
all
like a pending transaction. So since all three of them were held, like I couldn't. I had no app money in there to access because it essentially froze my account because I only had like $140.
So three tickets worth three times.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you're talking about, you know, there's at least $110, $120 in charges there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But they could, so when you called them, they could see that, and they told you that.
So pissed. Tried calling them, couldn't get a hold of anybody live. So I was like, well, I'll do it the next day. Tried calling again, couldn't get a hold of, contact anybody. Call our offices Monday through Friday, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Right.
That's another thing. In this day and age, like 24-hour customer service is essential if you're
for
dealing with
something
like that.
Yeah, for a business
for something
like that,
you better have somebody I can get contact on the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or GTFO. Because I don't want to hear it. Okay,
yeah,
it's stupid.
Like, take my business
it's
elsewhere.
A credit card. I should be able to use it 24 hours a day. If I have problems, I should be able to contact and call somebody 24 hours a day. Anyway,
I agree.
That was annoying. So I was livid that night. Couldn't use my ATM. Couldn't use my card. Essentially had no money. So I was broken, annoyed. and so I waited until today. Spent, I don't know, an hour on the phone wrangling with people. I eventually had to call the credit card company.
Uh-huh.
Then I had to call Fandango. Get the two on a conference call.
Are you kidding me?
So that the Fandango people...
You had to do
yes,
this.
So that the Fandango people... I had to do it myself. Or wait for them to fax each other back and forth.
What do you mean by fax?
I had to get the fax number for Starlight Financial and the fax number for Fandango and give them to each other so that Fandango could contact Starlight Financial about what was going on and Starlight Financial could contact them back.
So what do you mean by fax, though? I'm unclear.
A fax machine. As in you punch in the telephone number and... They send like a piece of paper
so it's like an email.
Over the interwebs. It's like an email, but you get a physical printed copy out at the end.
So it's like printing an email.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. God, for somebody who's so technically savvy, you really don't know a whole lot.
The fax is an outdated and archaic method of communicating.
Yeah, well.
And it's appalling that a business like a credit card company would be like, just fax it
over. Yeah, old people still have to communicate. Well,
Old people, my God, you could take a picture of it and email it for better than you could for a fax.
I even said, is there an email address that I can give them to email you about it? And she's like, no, you can do a fax. So I'm like, what? Okay. That's dumb. That's dumb. Anyway,
continue.
So basically what had happened is Starlight Financial had seen that these transactions went through, so they pulled the money. And we're holding it in some sort of like debit card limbo.
Some weird plastic escrow.
And since on Fandango's end, the transactions had never gone through. All the information had been entered, but had never gone through completely.
Right.
They held it also as a pending transaction. So they didn't cancel it just because I hit the back button or never got a confirmation email from them saying that I purchased the tickets.
Right.
So anyway,
you would think that would be like a 24-hour thing, though. Like if something's pending for 24 hours, like it should cancel out. Because like if you go to order concert tickets, like you'll pull up a page and it'll say this order is active for 10 minutes, and if you don't complete it, it's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like holding the tickets.
Well, apparently,
and you were buying them for a date that's in the past now.
Yeah, exactly.
My God.
Exactly.
Okay, go on. So I'm getting pissed on your behalf.
Yeah. So I had to spend an hour doing that, and I finally got it all cleaned up and figured
away,
out.
Yeah.
And I had to get these two on a conference call so they could talk to each other.
That blows my mind.
And I'm there on the phone for 5 minutes while they're confirming
while information you're just listening
with each other.
On this whole call.
And yeah. So basically, Fandango dropped the pending transactions and they were like, okay, so they saw that they dropped them, so they put the money back in. So I have money again, which is fine. But here's the thing. Okay.
Yeah.
It cost me somewhere around the ballpark of $8 or $9 to get this all straightened out.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention 3 hours
in ATM fees. Mm-hmm. Because even though I tried to withdraw the money and it didn't withdraw it,
The ATM still charged you
$2.50.
Oh, my.
Any ATM I use is $2.50.
That's
now
incredible.
I get paid from a certain corporation.
Yeah,
and I work for
which
them.
Shall remain nameless.
And they give me instead
Cracker
of
Barrel.
Instead of a check, like a sane person.
Yeah.
They give you pay cards, and all your money goes on pay cards.
Well, you have the option to do direct deposit, though, right?
You have it, yeah.
Okay.
But if you don't have a bank, like a large portion of minimum wage workers do, which in this article I'm about to pull up and talk about.
Banks are free, man.
But you will have bank fees.
Credit, go with the credit union.
Yep, and that's what's going to happen. This is the nail in the coffin for me because I'm.
Well, you'd go with First Community. Like they're small, hometown.
Yeah. That's
I know this is probably odd for our listener, but they're small, their hometown. There's zero fees for anything.
That's what everybody I know uses as far as a credit union, and First Community is probably where I'm
going to
sign up.
Because my wife was on one of the bigger banks. I think it was U.S. Bank, mm-hmm. and like she would go over or come close to the limit, and then they would charge like by the day when you were over. Whereas First
like
Community,
$40 a day for one overdraft fee.
Yeah. Whereas First Community, if you happen to go over, which let's be honest, it happens. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. pay rent or whatever it is. If you go over, you pay. And this is starting to sound like it's sponsored by them, and it's not. But if you go over with them, they charge you $25 for a 30-day period. Mm-hmm. So and you can go over up to $400. So if you have to overdraw to pay rent or something, you're in a pinch, which again I don't recommend doing. But you go over, they charge you $25, and that's it.
Yeah,
nothing else.
So basically,
anyways, go with the credit union.
I'm being charged to use my
a service that you didn't ultimately get.
What happens is basically a company uses the pay card. The pay card company takes care of their accounting on their end,
right?
So they don't have to pay account. The small business doesn't have to pay account. It saves businesses money. However, small businesses don't use these kinds of services,
right?
Big businesses do.
Yeah.
Okay. It saves them money, and you're basically charging your employees to access their money, which is what is happening.
Correct me
with
if
this
I'm
pay
wrong.
Card.
I mean, but if you withdraw from the thing, even if it's not from an ATM, they charge you per number of accesses.
Yeah.
In addition to any ATM fees.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I get charged, and here was something that really annoyed me. There's a 50-cent charge on your card for talking to a live person. If you get on the automated Skylight Financial system and just happen to hit the wrong series of
phone
buttons.
Phone number? Or?
Yeah, and magically get connected to a live person.
50 cents.
50 cents just to talk to a customer service representative.
That's...
Yeah.
That's unreasonable.
We're going to talk about some other cards, one of which charges 50 cents per transaction.
That's what I'm saying,
50
yeah.
cents just to use the card. Mine doesn't, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I'm about to stop using it because I'm going to switch to a credit union. But... if people don't know about pay cards, they are the payroll equivalent of a payday loan place.
It's true.
It's exorbitant fees to
access your
your own money. It's exorbitant fees to transfer money. It's exorbitant fees to, even if some people, you know, get paid on their prepaid or their pay card,
mm-hmm.
Which is nothing more than a prepaid credit card, and they take the money and they transfer it to their bank account, or they take it just immediately off the pay card, which is what I've been trying to do.
Yeah.
Even then, you have a $250. Let's say you get paid $300.
Okay. Right.
$250 to get it. So 1% of what you make is going to just get at the money,
and okay? That's for the card, not as an ATM fee. Or that's in addition to whatever ATM fee.
That's in addition to whatever ATM fee.
That's unbelievable.
It's highway robbery, and the vast majority of people that are getting paid with prepaid or with pay cards,
mm-hmm.
Or payroll cards are minimum wage workers.
Yeah, it's true.
It's almost completely minimum wage workers. It's kind of a hallmark of the industry now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember it used to be like five years ago, we were getting paid at Applebee's.
Yeah, that was one of their first options.
And
yeah.
Luckily, we were servers, so we got cash money and, you know...
Could still get like
our
food
paycheck
and gas.
Stubs weren't that much, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
This article is from the New York Times. Pay via card. Workers feel sting of fees by Jessica Silver Greenberg. And it just talks about the growing number of Americans who are being paid with prepaid cards,
which
and
I assume is quite a lot because it's the bigger companies that do it.
Yeah.
Your Applebee's, your Cracker Barrels, your mm-hmm. McDonald's, those type of.
Yeah, it kind of gives a little background about what they are, the fees involved, stuff like that. But you have it quotes Devontae Yates, 21.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he says he earns $7.25 an hour working drive through at mm-hmm. McDonald's, and he spends $40 to $50 a month on fees. With his J.P. Morgan Chase payroll
That's
card.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So you make $10 a week.
Yeah.
When you might be making $300.
Yeah.
On a good week.
Yeah.
Which
if you think about the price of gas, if you think about the price of living expenses, things like that,
mm-hmm.
$40 a month, that's not really money you can spare when you're
and
working like that.
And here's one of the things, the companies like McDonald's, Taco Bell, Walgreens and Walmart.
All use them.
But with those three, there is no option for a automatic...
direct deposit?
Yes, I'm sorry. That's it, yeah.
Really?
Direct deposit.
At all?
No, it's just a pay card, so you can't have a direct deposit where you get your paycheck put
from
into
them
a
at
direct
all.
Bank account. You have to use the pay card. And most companies are across the board, you have to
that
use a pay
card.
That
should be illegal.
You can't like opt out of the program.
No, that should be illegal.
Exactly.
That should. I didn't realize that. Wow.
And here's
because I mean, if you don't go with the option for a direct deposit, that's kind of on you. I mean, they kind of screw you out because you know usually you have to wait a pay period or two. You know, so mm-hmm. they kind of screw you out anyways. But that's
Here's
unbelievable.
Here's a cool number. In 2012, mm-hmm. there were 4.6 million active payroll cards in America.
That's combined.
Yeah. Not one so you're company. Looking at 2% of the population. 2% of the entire population. That's not 2% of the work population. That's 2% of the entire population.
Yeah.
Of the United States
yeah.
who are getting paid with these cards. It's supposed to go up to 11 million
yeah.
By 2017, according to current trends. So right now, you think 3, 4% of Americans?
Yeah.
Are you, well, yeah. 3% of Americans are using these payroll
Even
cards.
If it's gone up marginally, yeah.
Uh-huh. But it's just a way for large companies to not have to pay accounting fees
yeah.
and have to pay accountants.
Yeah.
Here's the thing
about... Well, and the companies that run the cards, let's yeah. be honest, they're making their money.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because
no, they are.
It costs what? Look, like, they make deals with Visa or whoever it is mm-hmm. to print out the cards. They're simple cards like you can buy, like you said. It's basically a prepaid card. So yeah. they're making a buttload
yeah.
off of a percentage of each check.
Mm-hmm. If you, say, have a paycheck of $500
okay.
and you go to a check cashing place, you don't have a bank account.
Yeah.
You work go to check cashing place
cash
to get
at Walmart or wherever.
Get your paycheck cash. You're paying $15, 3% to get it cashed.
Okay.
Okay. If you
wait, are you really?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because it's like $350 to cash a check at Walmart. Up to five. I think it's up to $500 or $600.
Yeah,
maybe.
But most places don't have that flat fee.
Really?
Yep. So you're paying 3%.
Well, either way, you're paying something. But yeah.
And with pay cards, it's no different. You're still paying. About 3 to 4%
of what
or
you're
more
making. Yeah.
of what you're making, on top of not making that much, you're getting taxed to access your money. It infuriates me. Now, the interesting thing about the pay cards is who's doing it. It's large banks,
right?
Extremely large banks.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much still unregulated. A couple of years ago, there were some regulation Dodd-Frank and stuff, some stuff like that, where they started to really crack down on regulations
right.
within credit card companies, things like that. Let me just read you this. For banks that are looking to recoup billions of dollars in lost income from a spate of recent limits on debit and credit card fees, Dodd-Frank and a couple other things, issuing payroll cards can be lucrative. The products are largely untouched by recent financial regulations.
Right.
So payroll cards don't have the same regulations.
So it's a good moneymaker.
But payroll cards don't have the same regulations as far as fees and transaction fees and things like that. That credit cards and debit cards have now.
Really?
Yep. They're so largely unregulated, which is why employers are turning to them in droves.
Yeah.
And you have these large companies that spring up. As a result, some of the nation's largest banks are expanding into the business, obviously.
Yeah.
The lack of regulation in the payroll card market, while alluring for some of the issuers, can potentially leave cardholders swimming in fees. Take the example of inactivity fees, and my card has an inactivity fee.
Yeah, I've always found those to be, that's insane.
That penalize customers for infrequently using their cards. The Federal Reserve has banned such fees. Okay, now let's talk about it. When the Federal Reserve bans something, you know that it's bad.
That's a good
right?
point, yeah.
But no protections exist on prepaid cards. Cards used by more than 24 major retailers have inactivity fees of $7 or more.
And that's like after 90 days, if you haven't touched money that's on there, it they charge you, like, I think by the day sometimes after
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like I said, $2.50 to use an ATM, no matter what you're doing on the ATM.
Yeah.
50 cents to talk to a live person. 50 cents to check your balance over the phone.
That's insane.
Yeah, just to find out how much money you have in your account.
Yeah.
You're spending money.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a scam, and it's criminal.
It is, yeah.
And you're stealing money from people who can't afford it, who are already, you know, working minimum wage jobs because of whatever. It could be because they never went to school, they lack the education, because they can't find a better job,
mm-hmm.
or because of location, or whatever. It could be why they
matter.
Have that job.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why they have that job. There's still money is being stolen from them because of things like this. And it goes back to our conversation on Florida Dinner Picks.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago on episode 9, talking about the minimum wage, and it's just one more thing that's minimum wage workers are being hit by, and they can't take it, and they don't deserve it.
Yeah,
that
is one thing that I'll, without opening up that conversation again, that is one thing that I'll hand to you, that there's things that are in place, that, especially like this scam, this racket that are unnecessary
and absolutely
and flat out criminal, like you said. Like there's no need to have that type of thing in place when it's really just a third party, another company that's mm-hmm. telling you that they're going to charge you for accessing your own money.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's criminal.
Yeah.
And it frustrates me, and because there's nothing you can do. What can you do about it?
Yeah.
Besides what I'm going to do is
switch to
First Community. Yeah. Here I come.
Yeah.
First Community, better get ready for all this sexiness. I'm bringing 230 pounds.
Speaking of that,
of sexiness.
They have something which might appeal to a man of your stature.
Mm-hmm.
They have popcorn in the lobby.
See, I'm not a big popcorn guy.
Really?
I like popcorn.
Oh, well. They have Dum Dums.
Go through popcorn.
Go through the drive-thru.
But like your regular microwavable
of your snack or foods. Just
regular popcorn.
Right.
Not big into it. However, and there's always a however in life.
Yeah, what about movie popcorn though?
No. Movie popcorn's good. I'll eat it. But
a big buttery tub of popcorn.
Yeah. Actually, what was it?
When we went to Man of Steel.
No, not when we went to Man of Steel. When Dan and I went to go see Pacific Rim a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
We each got, and this is how gluttonous we are.
Well, this is what happened when we went to see Man of Steel. You, me, and my brother.
Yeah.
We got a large tub, and we filled it three times.
Yeah.
We each ate a large tub.
Here's the thing, though. Okay, I topped that with Pacific Rim.
Oh, we each got I don't even want to know.
We got a number two, which is the extra large, like 30. No, it's a bit more than that. It's got to be like 40-ounce soda.
A huge drink, right?
And a bucket the giant of soda. Tub of popcorn. We each got one. Not knowing the other one was getting one.
Right.
So we each got a refillable thing of popcorn. However, 20 minutes in the movie, I look down. There's just crumbs on the bottom of my tub of popcorn. 20 minutes in, and I look at Dan, and I'm like, hey, when would be a good time to go get a refill on the popcorn? He's like halfway through his tub. He's like, I'll go get it for you. So he leaves, refills my tub of popcorn, brings it back. I eat halfway through. The second tub of popcorn before I throw my hands up in the air and say, I'm done.
Tapping out.
Yeah. I had a butter coma later that night.
I can see that.
A tub and a half of movie popcorn. Okay.
Because even if you're a pretty strenuous butter user,
mm-hmm.
you're not Paula Deen butter user.
No.
Paula Deen could eat tub upon tub.
I'm not in the class with that bitch.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But one thing.
An amateur butter user at best.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One thing I do love, the kind of popcorn, is the Christmas tins. Of popcorn.
Ooh, yeah, with like the three flavors.
With the three flavors. The cheese, caramel and butter the cheese. And cheese. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I will eat five or six of those during the Yuletide season. When they start selling them right after Thanksgiving.
Right.
I'll buy just one.
Get one.
And then I'll buy
when
like
it's gone, you
one
buy another
every
one.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Until I can't buy them in stores anymore.
Well, we'll say this to our listeners. If anyone wants to get Matt a Yuletide tub of warmth, we'll call it.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and get a popcorn tin,
mm-hmm.
which is the quintessential. Like, if you don't know what to bring to a holiday party, and especially like growing up, like we didn't go to any holiday parties where you need form of alcohol as that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The standard thing that you bring would be a bottle of wine, but when you go to a house that doesn't have that, the standard thing is the tub of popcorn.
The popcorn tin.
Either that or those really bad like meat trays from like Sam's Club.
Yeah.
That's just. Ugh,
but
weird types of salami.
Let's be honest.
Cut up and
yeah, I would destroy the Sam's Club meat tray, but I would also even doubly
so love so the popcorn. Yeah,
destroy a popcorn tin.
Yeah,
popcorn, just annihilate it. Yeah. Just leave it just withering in a pile on the floor.
Yeah,
just rip apart the metal to get at the popcorn.
Like a Transformer-esque kind of just ripping into raw metal to get at what you
mm-hmm.
want.
Just like a greedy little kaiju.
Shall we move on?
Yeah. What do you have? What do you want to give some thought
to? Well, I have
this
a
week?
Lot of things. We gave a lot of thought to your...
Well, I'm an interesting cat, but you go ahead and talk
debacle.
This time. Yeah.
Well, it comes from a place of the heart because you were burned yourself.
Yeah, I was burned pretty bad by
so
these cards.
You were standing on your own soapbox rather than the soapbox of the poor and downtrodden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that soapbox too, but...
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's your host Addison here, joined by my co-host Matt. Say hello, Matt.
Hey everybody out there in Audio Land.
It's better than Radio Land. I'll take it. Either way, you're listening to this show. If you'd like to support the show, what can they do, Matt?
Well, you can go to tripodbroadcasting.com and hit support. And
yeah.
That'll take you to two different places.
Two different places. Two ways to support the show.
A myriad of ways. So many options. Literally
two options.
Literally two. If you don't like one, you'll like the other.
Exactly.
We can guarantee that. Well, the one is audibletrial.com/tripodbroadcasting. There's a link on the support page, and you can go there and you can download a free audiobook that is yours to keep, and you'll support the show by doing that.
Absolutely.
What's the other way they can support the show, Matt?
Go to our website, tripodbroadcasting.com. Click on the Amazon banner.
The Amazon banner.
Go to amazon.com. Do all your shopping through there.
Any of your normal, regular shopping.
That helps support the show, and you get some free cool stuff from Amazon.
Yeah. It's a win-win-win.
It's a win-win-win-win-win.
Thanks for your support. A couple of stories I had. Big news this week, Matt. Big news this week. Two big news this week.
Well, don't just keep us waiting. Tell us what's happening.
Number one, and I'm going to give them in reverse order, that with the ones that they came out, reverse order that they came out, because that's the order of excitement that I have for them. And the first one is Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Why that reaction? Are you not excited for that?
No, I mean, I like Bryan Cranston.
What do you mean? What?
I like Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
I mean, it's confirmed now.
Don't you think he can do with the hair and not like the whole Lex thing? Like, I think he's got it all the way.
Yeah. I think that it's a little bit dangerous for people to get really excited about Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor, because I know a lot of people are going to go into the movie theater thinking Heisenberg.
Heisen-Lex.
And it's not going to be the same character. It's not going to be played the same way.
Yeah.
It's going to be really different. So to get super excited,
you're skeptical.
I'm wary of becoming overly excited about something to where I hype it up too much in my own mind, and then it disappoints me in the end. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I didn't read anything about The World's End before I went to go see it. Yeah. No reviews, no spoilers at all. Didn't just bare minimum knowing about the movie going in and being able to see the movie as the first thing that influences how I think about it.
Yeah, that is always good to have. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did that with Man of Steel. Like, moving up to it, there were a lot of interviews that came out with Zack Snyder and Henry Cavill and all the cast and all these things, and some podcast panels that were done. And I was like, I'll check these out after I see the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I really just kind of want to have my own viewpoint on the movie. That being said, that position is exactly how I feel about the second announcement, which was Ben Affleck.
What about Ben Affleck?
He is the new Batman.
Really? See, yes. I didn't hear anything about that.
Well, it wasn't really on Twitter or anything.
Were people talking about it like on Facebook and Twitter and on Reddit and stuff?
In a minimal way, I would say.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. A couple articles, couple of...
Because, I mean, I was on Twitter the whole weekend and I didn't see anything.
Yeah, there were really no quips or
about
jokes
Ben Affleck.
Or puns.
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of that. Huh. But...
Because you'd think that Twitter would blow up.
On a story like that.
Yeah, especially because it's Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Well, let's see. What sort of jokes could we make? Batfleck. There's one we could make.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I guess there's the obvious callback to Daredevil.
Yeah. Let's not even try. Twitter did a good enough job
Twitter
with it.
Twitter exploded.
Yeah.
Anyways, on that note,
it was a little obscene, but do you think about Affleck as Batman?
Exactly.
Okay, first off, the movie, I heard today, actually, tentatively entitled Superman versus Batman.
I don't know that that's tentatively the title. I think that's going to be the storyline, or partially the storyline.
Yeah.
Now, that comes from what Zack Snyder read from, I believe, a Frank Miller book, if I'm not mistaken, at Comic-Con when he made the announcement. And it was a quote from Batman to Superman about, and it was basically this line where he's like, "I want you to always remember the man that beat you." So we can assume that at some point during the movie that takes place.
Yeah.
That type of interaction, which I think you have to have in bringing those two characters on screen together. But I don't think the whole movie is Superman versus Batman.
Probably not.
I just don't see it working.
But I like the fact that they're going to put those two characters at odds, because...
Oh, they'll definitely be at odds, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Ben Affleck is Batman.
Yeah.
I wrote a quick piece on my blog, but honestly, I'm okay with the move, and my reasoning is this. There was a quote that went around. You can see it on my blog, addisonthod.com, but from Zack Snyder, that said that Ben Affleck brings something different to the table, something new, and he's really looking forward to working with him, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty standard, but on the flip side, A, Zack Snyder doesn't phone it in. Okay, he already did great work with Man of Steel, both financially and I felt creatively. And in addition, Nolan's on the project. So the problem is, and the reason why there's all the jokes and all the no and all that kind of thing, people are still comparing it. And it's just the way it is. It's not a bad thing.
But you're
but they're looking at Christian Bale, and he's not. That Batman is done.
Yeah.
That's a different character. It's like the Spider-Man. And from what I recall, when Amazing Spider-Man came out, I mean, I guess people looked at Tobey Maguire and was like, oh, he's different, and here's the differences and why I like one or the other. But, and I felt that came out kind of quick with number three coming out a few years ago. But
first off, nobody.
But there's no.
Spider-Man movies will make money, but no one really cares, I don't think.
Really?
I really enjoyed
Amazing Spider-Man.
I don't think there are ravenous Spider-Man fans out there who are like, give us Spider-Man, give us Spider-Man. There's people who are fans of superhero movies who want to go see a superhero movie, so they'll go see Spider-Man.
Emma Stone.
Yeah, I mean, she's okay. Just not. She's no Anna Kendrick. Let's put it that way.
She's not White House material.
No, she's not White House material. Maybe like junior staff.
Junior staff.
Yeah. But you were saying about Zack Snyder
or Snyder, yeah,
that he's never made or never turned in subpar work.
Yeah.
He never phones it in. Which you're
and neither does Nolan.
Which you're
on the project. You're
absolutely right about Zack Snyder because he definitely wasn't the guy who made Sucker Punch. Definitely wasn't that guy. Another different Zack Snyder who made Sucker Punch.
You didn't like Sucker Punch?
I never saw Sucker Punch, but I know it got.
I enjoyed it.
Just dogged.
I thought the story was not up to where the theatrics were. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the story was really weak and the
all style, no substance.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I thought it was a big case of that.
Yeah,
but Zack Snyder did Watchmen.
Yeah,
and 300.
I know it's true. Man of Steel. He can do really good work. So I think that Watchmen and 300 are by far the best thing he's done.
Well, and in that note, it's maybe it's not wholly this, but I feel like Warner Brothers and DC and company know what they're doing and are pulling or making the right decision by having
First off, think of every terrible movie you've seen.
Okay.
Just let them flash in front of you in your brain right now.
Okay.
There was a movie studio executive who said, yes,
yeah,
throw money at that.
Yeah, I know.
So do not bank on studio heads making good decisions.
Well, but
do not bank on that.
But I think the fail-safe in some way is the fact that Nolan is on board because we've seen from a massively, wildly successful Batman trilogy that Nolan does really good work with this type of film.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's on board not to direct but to produce on this set of Man of Steel and then Batman and then presumably Justice League.
Well, DC is not – they're not going to take any chances.
Exactly, and I think that's why Nolan's on board.
And – about Ben Affleck, I think that it's completely within the realm of possibilities.
I told you this when
I know, but then you have terrible taste.
I didn't think it was my favorite movie. Like it wasn't excellent. It didn't blow me out of the water, but I enjoyed it. It's entertaining.
But it wasn't. Again, Affleck is a Batman fan. Like he's a big Batman fan. So
maybe he'll bring a lot to the table then.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
He wanted to do Batman.
He's got the jawline.
Well, he wanted to do a Batman, and then Christian Bale got the role in Nolan's Batman,
and did great.
He said, "Okay, well, I guess they're not going to make another Batman anytime soon, so I'll do Daredevil instead because he wanted to get a superhero movie.
Well,
but now he's Batman. There's a very good possibility that he just Robert Downey Jr.'s the whole thing. It's a kind of revival a revival for his career. Robert Downey Jr. was an actor's actor, a great actor." Had some trouble.
Are you talking about the Iron Man franchise when he came along? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now he poured everything he was into being Iron Man and was very good at
it. And nailed
wildly successful movies. I think that Affleck can do the same thing as Batman. It's good in a couple ways that he's not the central role in the movie. You have a lot of other actors to lean on.
Yeah.
Also in that universe, he's...
Well, we forget, the movie is billed as Man of Steel 2.
Yeah.
So it's another Man of Steel movie that Batman happens to be in.
Yeah, but
presumably
to branch him out into a new Batman or franchise. A Batman that is around for the Justice League and everything else like that. The thing of it, though, Ben Affleck signed a deal to do 14 appearances or be on 14
or 11,
movies. Or 11? Is it 11?
It was over 10, yeah.
To be in this number of movies or be involved with this number of movies.
Yeah.
Which means acting, directing.
Well, did he direct Argo, or was involved. He?
No, he directed and wrote it. Directed and wrote it.
Directed and wrote it.
Written. He wrote and directed Argo. Gone Baby Gone.
And that
Gone.
Was Best Picture, right?
Gone Baby Gone is another really good movie that he's in, and that he directed.
And hasn't he done some stuff with your boy Kevin Smith?
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like he's friends with Kevin Smith.
Yeah, they were boys back in the day.
What do you want? What do you want to bet? Kevin Smith pulled his eye. Warner Brothers and was like, "Hey, my boy Affleck." Get my boy Affleck.
I don't think Kevin Smith has that kind of clout. But
well, he was slated though to write a Batman movie at one point.
Yeah,
you know that, right?
But there are a lot of things out there like that.
Yeah, that's true. Know? But
a lot of writers and stuff who were slated to do this or were in talks to do that,
toss scripts around and everything. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if you took every script that a director, you know, passed on, or that a writer decided not to write, you know, or whatever. But I think there's a very good chance that Ben Affleck could do the whole Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man thing to it. At this point, the guy's got nothing to lose. Why not do it?
Exactly, and that's kind of my whole attitude.
I
look forward to seeing what Nolan and company bring to the table.
He started his career back in what was it 96, I guess.
Affleck.
When he and Matt Damon co-wrote Good Will Hunting. And it won Best Picture. They won the Oscar for Best Screenplay. That was the first thing they ever did.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's kind of a slow descent. You know, Affleck is in a lot of big names. Does a leading man thing, and then it kind of peaks, and then does a slow descent for years and years and years. And then rises again by directing movies.
And stuff.
With Gone Baby Gone, with Argo. I think he's a talented actor. I know he's been in some terrible, terrible, terrible stuff. If you're ever in the mood for just a terrible movie, which I rarely am, but Paycheck.
Wait, have I seen that?
With him and Uma Thurman.
I think maybe I've seen that.
It's just a terrible movie. It's a dog of a movie.
Isn't it like a really bad action movie kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like they're running after something or other?
They're running after something and do something with somebody else.
Yeah, I think like years ago I was like,
just kind of a way
guess I'll watch this.
Yeah, you could sum up any movie that way. It's about this one guy who does something with a couple other people, and then he goes off.
And then the other guy tries to stop him.
This other thing happens, and then he kisses a girl, and then the movie ends.
It's a lot of movies.
That's like 90% of Hollywood right there.
Yeah, it really is.
God, why aren't we writers? Why aren't we getting paid for it?
We should be.
That's
should be a
great
writer,
movie
man.
Idea.
We've talked about this before. You should be a writer.
Well, I wrote earlier today.
You have a head of gold. Wait.
I did.
What'd you write?
You just saw me in this notebook. I was writing some notes.
No, I... My heart skipped a beat for a moment.
Yeah.
Unduly so.
Got you on a technicality.
Yeah.
I get got on technicalities all the time.
Big
anyway,
jerk.
Anything else you want to say about Affleck?
Not really. No, just that I'm hopeful, and I think the internet's giving him a hard time and taking the easy jokes.
That's what the internet does. That's why the internet is there.
Unless you're Rebecca Black. But anyways.
And actually, you've never seen Jane Silent Bob Strike Back?
No.
Like,
we've talked about this. The only Kevin Smith movie I've ever seen is Red State, which I loved, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to be the movie episode.
Yeah.
Well, the movie and the pay card. Mm. That sounds like a movie.
The pay card movie.
Just pay card.
Pay card. Coming to theater soon. Pay card.
You might not be able to afford it.
Yeah.
Pay card.
In which a lonely schlubby stoner tries to use his pay card and sets out on the most awesome adventure of a lifetime.
He has a job. He's making money, but he'll only see part of it. Pay card.
see him fight the demons of excessive ATM fees and withdrawal fees.
He wants a burger, but will he get it? Pay card.
Yeah.
I really like that. Cracked up at your Pall Mall cigarettes. Your life may be short, but at least it'll be smooth.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think we should wrap there. You got anything else?
Well, you don't have anything else to talk about?
Well, it's an hour long. People don't want to listen to us forever.
Well, I mean,
know we do. We love listening to
I
ourselves.
I could listen to myself
I'm on the
forever.
I'm on the number one podcast I listen to. Number one.
Among people who are you and I, this podcast is number one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm cutting it because I'm going outside now. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Goodbye.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.